Springfield's Talk 104.1. Welcome, friends. It's going to be a wonderful Tuesday. I just know it. Just know it. Kamala Harris doing a roundtable meeting, and she accidentally talks about what we're going to do in the Kamala Harris administration, and then tries to, what I'll do under with, you know, President Biden. I mean, not a Harris administration, a Biden administration. Of course, a lot of fun with that people are having. Many people recommending Joe Biden get a food taster. But the reason people, of course, are joking about it is because it's just known this guy is not going to be able to carry out the presidency if he's elected. The only question is he going to step down? Is he going to be forced to step down? Is he going to maintain the image of president while actually being directed behind the scenes, sort of a Woodrow Wilson situation? And then, of course, the question there is, if that's the case, who's going to be running that show? That seems like the sort of thing where we in our minds imagine that there's some grand puppet master. But think about the chaos, that the power grabs that occur when there is somebody that is clearly the president. Now, we've seen that with Trump. It does exist with other presidents, though. You've got these power grabs, people that want the president's attention, people that want to be that individual that the president relies on, you know, the kingmaker, the man behind the curtain, or the woman behind the curtain. You know, it's all power. Now, can you imagine how messy that will be if the president isn't actually even functioning as the president? It's just utter and absolute chaos, literally not having anyone in charge of the country. And God forbid, think about if there's a terrorist attack. I don't think we've really thought about the real true implications. We know the idea of it is a little frightening. We know that, you know, that's not probably the best thing in the world. The real life implications of a person being president who clearly isn't in charge. First on Lou's Hader this morning with the latest news update.
And good morning. Fire has damaged a duplex on Lark just off Republic Road in Springfield. Crews say folks living on both sides of that building got out safely Monday night, but the duplex is a loss. Investigators are trying to find out what started that fire. The number of COVID-19 cases has dropped at Missouri State University. University reporting 104 cases last week. That's down from more than 260 the week before. 20 students are under quarantine or isolation at two hotels leased by MSU. Hobby Lobby says full-time workers will now make $17 an hour minimum. This is the 11th time in 10 years that the store has increased its minimum wage. Minimum wages for part-time workers at Hobby Lobby around $11 an hour. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert forecast. Sunny today, a high of 83. Mostly clear tonight, 60 for a low. 30% chance of showers tomorrow with a high of 83. And Thursday, mostly sunny, a high of 80. It's 57. This morning after the 11 o'clock news, we're going to be off air for a while. Now, we'll still be streaming. And I believe our AM will still be functioning, but those of you, I'm just going to have a little raw talk here, a little honesty. Those of you who have listened for some time know that this station, probably more than any other station, has been plagued with technical issues. It has been since I started here 10 years ago. I mean, it's just been a nonstop. Frustration really isn't even the appropriate word. And I know it's frustrating to you as a listener. You can only imagine how frustrating it is to me. And, you know, it's the sort of thing where, well, we think this is it, and then we think there's a fix, and then, nope, 6 months later, something goes wrong again. So last Friday, I think it was, power wasn't making it to the transmitter. Now, those of you, by the way, I know there are some of you who are listening that are engineers. I'm going to be very broad in my descriptions here because I don't understand a lot of this stuff. I get a very technical explanation, and then in my mind, I'm like, won't off air, won't power surge. You know, there are little keywords I understand and can comprehend. So I may get some things here. If you're really, an informed engineer, you're going to be like, well, that doesn't sound exactly right. So you have to forgive me for that. But we keep losing these components. It's just like fry. And then replace them, and then it happens again. They're very expensive parts. What is very expensive? I don't even know. I'm just told they're very expensive. That could be $500. It could be $40,000. I have no idea. I haven't asked. And so the latest parts that were put in there Friday, they blew out again. And there is a choke of sorts that is supposed to regulate the amount of power that gets to this stuff. And they think that's the problem, that all of this time that has been what is causing problems. And that isn't a part that's made anymore for our particular transmitter. Now, they may have a line on one that has been used that is available elsewhere. That's something that is being researched at this time. Ultimately, though, in the end, just a brand new transmitter is needed. How much does that cost? I have no idea. No clue. Got no clue. I've been asked that, and I always fail to ask that question. When I'm talking to somebody internally who knows these things, like, how much does that cost? I have no idea. No concept of that. You think I should know that, right? Don't know. So anyhow, the reason I'm telling you this now is, one, just to keep you up to date. But also, after the news at 11 this morning, in an effort to try to pinpoint some things and, further this process along, we will be off air, and it may be as much as an hour. If something goes horribly wrong, I don't know, it could be longer. But like I said, we'll still be streaming because it's not an issue in the studio. This is the FM transmitter. So you'll be able to go KSGF.com and listen. That would be the place. That you just go to KSGF.com and listen. Or if you have any other sort of app. I know some of you still have the old school Radio League app. You can listen that way. So the programming's still gonna flow. And like I said, it should be on AM too, or 1260 AM signal, because this is just affecting the FM transmitter. But I want to give you a heads up, let you know that's going to be happening. Sarah will make a posting about it as well. I know a lot of you aren't, you won't hear it because you're not listening right now. Obviously, those who are. But I'm going to try to make little reminders of this every so often throughout the morning. That way folks aren't caught off guard. Here is the latest traffic update. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1. Last week, we made available to you, with one of our partners, a limited edition Springfield's Talk 104.1 face masks. With the Reagan quote, government is not the solution to the problem, government is the problem. And they're pretty nice adjustable masks. They went very quickly. We managed to get some more. So if you wanted one, and you were not able to get one because they went faster than you were able to get over to that location, you can stop by this Friday at Ming Auto Beauty Center. Where is that, you ask? I'll tell you, 1273 East Republic Road. It's about Republican National. It's just, it'd be east just a bit of Republic and National. So the exact address, 1273 East Republic Road. Their doors open at 8 a.m., and that'll be Friday, first come, first serve. One per person, please. Kamala Harris is, there's a bit of fun, if you will, today because of Kamala Harris yesterday at a virtual roundtable discussion. And she's talking about low-interest loans for minorities, and she talks about how in a Harris administration, and she realizes her oopsie-daisies and says, well, with President Joe Biden, and then she even further clarifies the Biden-Harris administration. It was a clear flub. Now, under normal circumstances, people wouldn't think a whole heck of a lot of it, but given the fact that a majority of Americans do not believe Joe Biden's with it, it carries a little more significance. Now, I guarantee you there is a segment of the population who believe that is a full-blown Freudian slip or a foreshadowing slip, that the plan is, without doubt, Biden to get in there, and then Kamala Harris is going to be president of the United States. Now, why Harris? Well, he chose her, and she is the, I mean, she's been in her tenure in the U.S. Senate the furthest, most radical leftist voting member of the U.S. Senate. It is a dream of these folks to get someone like that in there. Now, I don't believe that there is one single plan. There is this misconception that everything that happens is planned out, that everything is a chess game. And so when some sort of event occurs, when the Democrats in particular pull something off, that was their grandmaster plan to begin with. But that generally is not the case. Generally, it's chaos. Chips fall where they may. And with the Democrat Party, you have, because these are people that are more authoritarian, and this is where you get the real power struggles with people. They don't believe in the peaceful transition any longer of one leader to another, and that goes internally as well. There is a level of brutality within the Democrat Party and leadership that is beyond what I think most people believe it to be. So the point being is there's constantly a struggle behind the scenes in the Democrat Party about who's really in charge. I mean, look at the Ocasio-Cortez stuff with Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, all of this stuff. Power grab, power grab, power grab. Now, imagine a world in which Joe Biden becomes president of the United States. And all of these people that are part of a power grab trying to run the country. We envision simple steps. Well, Joe Biden would just step down and Harris would become president of the United States. Well, I can almost guarantee you there will be forces that don't want that to happen because they prefer Joe Biden stay in there so that they can control him. He would be their marionette. They would be the puppet masters. Think about it. Think about people like Comey. Think about people like Brennan. Think about people like Clapper or Eric Holder. Eric Holder, who, by the way, is actively working on creating a team of attorneys to challenge the election if Donald Trump wins. It's no coincidence that someone like Eric Holder is part of this effort. These are people that are much more likely to want to have a simple figurehead in place that they can control behind the scenes. Some people love power, but they don't want to be the face of power. These are, again, the Clappers and the Brennans and the Eric Holders, and, you know, while Attorney General or even James Comey, head of the FBI, the face of that, when it comes to running the country and the direction of the country, they like to have their input. They like to have their hand on the rudder to some degree. So those are individuals that would much rather have someone like Joe Biden in there that they can control. And I'm using them as examples. There are many, many, many others whose names we don't even know necessarily that are going to be in that position if Joe Biden wins the presidency. Think about that chaos. Past presidents, we really see it with Trump. Now, Trump is an extraordinary example because of, you know, the coup against him and the attempt to overthrow the presidency. And so we have seen the chaos of people within the Trump administration who have ulterior motives. But even presidents that aren't, you know, that don't have a target on their back, there's still this desire to have the control of the president. There's still this desire to want to be the last person in the room that the president talks to. There is still this desire when there's a room full of people for the president to take the advice of me as an advisor, as me as the secretary of state, me as whatever the position is. When you have a president who is all there, then ultimately the person who makes the decision as to whom they are going to listen to is the president. So in other words, if you know, you had Barack Obama and that day that they all sat around and they sort of gave a verbal vote as to whether or not to go after bin Laden, and every advisor said, well, yeah, no brainer. Joe Biden, of course, was the one person who said, no, we should leave him alone. Ultimately, Obama was the one who made the decision. When former President Bush had all sorts of voices that are advising him after 9/11 or when it came to Iraq, and, you know, he's got all these voices, and, but ultimately he was the one that said, all right, here's what's going to happen. We've got to deal with the reality that Joe Biden may not even have the ability to do that. Or if he does, to remember it. I mean, the guy is getting to the point where he may not be able to make those simple decisions. So then who does? How do we move forward? You don't think that if there happens to be a country out there, or a terrorist organization, some other bin Laden, that they would not see that as the prime time to strike? You don't think somebody like Putin would love to have Biden in there? I mean, not to mention how much Putin advanced his own power while Obama and Biden were in the White House. But aside from that, knowing that the, or China, even because Joe Biden has demonstrated being, that he's in the pocket of China, but just the fact that China's going to know that that it's total chaos. You have a bunch of kingmaker wannabes in the background fighting over who's actually in charge, and Joe Biden not having a clue what to do. That is a dream for people that want to take advantage of the United States. Absolute dream. We joke about it. We laugh about it. I know a lot of people do, rightfully so, understand that, boy, that could be a real mess. But I don't think that we have really, truly appreciated the danger that that could put us in. It really, for all the talk about the 25th Amendment during the Trump administration, this would be one of those scenarios. I mean, this is when you truly could legitimately have a 25th Amendment situation in which the cabinet votes, the president is not capable of carrying out his duties, so somebody else needs to be in charge. And maybe that's their plan. But again, the go-to no-brainer of Harris immediately ascending into that position, I'm telling you, there are going to be people who they're going to, the kingmakers, those that want that power, they're going to say, think, well, if Harris gets in there, then I'm not going to be able to control the situation. I'm not going to be able to call the shots. And so they will be potentially more likely to want to keep a feeble, incapacitated Joe Biden in the presidency. And the danger involved in that is something that, you know, it isn't talked about a lot, especially mainstream, because, of course, the media is, we want Trump out of there, hell or high water, and they don't care what it takes to do that. And so they're certainly not going to be having these discussions. I mean, the idea that a country like China or Russia, you know, we keep hearing Putin wants Trump in there. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Springfield's Talk 1, I'm Nick Reed. On this theme, especially that the Biden campaign's putting out there that, you know, Putin wants Trump in there. And we're, once again, the intelligence community is at this again. Like, oh, well, Putin, you know, Trump is saying this. That's playing right into Putin's hand. That's exactly what Putin wants. If Putin wants anything, it's the intelligence community trying to spread that misinformation. But I've got to talk a little bit about what, just stop and think about it. What has Putin gotten? What advancements has he made in the last 4 years? In what ways has he benefited from a Trump administration? And then we're going to look back on the previous 8 years when Obama, Biden were at the helm. Because there's a much different outcome for Putin between the two administrations. First, Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate. I read to you reviews every so often. People who used her services loved them. She helped them buy homes, helped them sell homes within just hours. A couple of the comments, they mentioned that she's, you know, straightforward and honest. And I know what that means. That may just seem like throwaway words. Like, ah, we're just trying to think of nice things to say. Straightforward and honest. Emily Johnson knows sometimes people don't want to hear the hard news about a home they're trying to sell. Especially if they've lived in it their whole lives. And you think it is perfect. We did all of this work and we did this over here and so forth. But Emily Johnson knows that that may not be a value. That particular color, that particular style. While you may love it, and that's fantastic, if you're looking, though, to sell your home and get the most money out of it possible and sell it as quickly as possible, if that, you know, that you've done to your home that needs to be altered or changed in order to make that happen, she's going to tell you. She's going to be straightforward about it. I mean, she's not mean. She's one of the nicest gals you'll ever meet. But her goal is not to make you feel good. Well, other than at the closing. If you want somebody that's going to do what is necessary to help you get the most out of your home and sell it as quickly as possible, then I recommend Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate, as so many others have as well. And you can see those recommendations on her Facebook page. Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate, you can find and like her on Facebook, and you can always call her 890-1455. 1455, Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate. Now a traffic update on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. And now, Mr. Don Luzader with the latest news update.
And good morning. Nearly 6 months after a shooting at a come-and-go in Springfield that killed four people, including Springfield Police Officer Christopher Walsh, a blood drive is joining a foundation that helps family members of the victims. The Unite Springfield Blood Drive gives people a T-shirt with their donation, but also will make sure that $5 goes to that foundation with each donation. The money provides financial assistance for family members affected by the shooting. Now, the Community Blood Center is where all of this is going on. They're hosting the drive, which runs from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. It starts today, goes through Thursday. And Webster County authorities inviting the community to honor a sergeant killed in a crash on I-44 near Marshfield last week. There will be a processional tomorrow for Sergeant Justin Burney. Burney died in the crash while his two kids suffered injuries. Folks are asked to line the streets on Spur Drive in Marshfield from West Jackson to Banning Street between 11 and noon Wednesday. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. Sunny 83 for a high today, mostly clear overnight, 60 for a low. A slight chance of afternoon showers tomorrow, high of 83, and mostly sunny Thursday with a High of 80, it's 55. According to, I'm going to sort of jump ahead here. Not this Thursday, but next Thursday, our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books, going to be Byron York. And it's regarding this nonstop barrage of attacks on Trump. And one of the things that he has discovered is that Alexander Vindman is the guy who orchestrated the conspiracy regarding Ukraine that Adam Schiff and others would use as a rationale for impeaching Donald Trump. And we kept hearing about this other whistleblower and some others named his name. And, of course, Schiff was, oh, don't name the name. You know, can't name the names. And the media, all of a sudden, the media was protecting the whistleblower. Well, it turns out that this, according to Byron York, that the whistleblower got all his information from Vindman. Now, Vindman, of course, you know, he's military. And for a period of time, Republicans, oh, well, you know. We don't want to criticize him because he was in the military. And as I always pointed out, so is Timothy McVeigh. I mean, simply because somebody served in the military doesn't mean that they are an individual with unquestionable character. Little side note, what amazingly enough doesn't get mentioned is that Alexander Vindman is not an American-born individual. You know where he was born? Where would be the most perfect place for him to be born? Answer, Soviet Union. He and his brother. Soviets. Now, you would think with all of the concerns about Russia and spies and trying to interfere with elections, that the media would just once have mentioned that one of the individuals who was instrumental and perhaps even the person that orchestrated the impeachment, or at least the fuel to get the impeachment going against the president of the United States, was a Soviet-born individual. Now, that's not the point, though. He's out there, the Soviet-born Vindman, claiming that Trump is an unwitting agent of Vladimir Putin. Now, this, of course, is the continuing narrative that Putin wants Trump in there. Now, here's a question that no one asks these folks. Why would Putin want Trump as president? Now, they say, well, I mean, he likes Trump because Trump has this weird liking for crazy dictators, and that's why. Well, but what does that, let's just say that's true. What does that get Putin? What does Putin, just let's look at what Putin has gotten in the last 4 years. Anyone? How has Putin benefited from President Trump? See, we're not into theoretical prediction land here. We have a resume. Anyone? Has Putin benefited from increased energy sales? It's a huge source of revenue. No, in fact, he's suffered greatly. Do you know why? President Trump has been working and been successful in many instances to cut off that flow of revenue by helping countries that were reliant on energy from Russia and paying Russia for that energy, getting them off of it. And of course, bonus, they're buying ours. Poland was one of these countries. This is one of the first things that was done. You had Poland and the recommendation from the United States saying, "What you know, you ought to stop being so reliant on Russia." See, Russia then could always threaten to cut off the energy. Poland said, "Well, what are we supposed to do?" I said, "Well, all right, we'll take care of you." Democrats also complained when Trump called out Merkel publicly for working on a deal to buy energy from Russia. Economically, that massive source of revenue, Donald Trump has been working to cut it off, to do financial harm to Putin and to Russia. So Putin certainly hasn't benefited in that capacity. Has he benefited from Trump lifting sanctions? No, in fact, Trump has increased sanctions. Has Putin been able to shoot down any airliners since Trump has been president? See, we forget about all of this stuff that Putin felt free to do during the previous administration. Shoot down commercial airliners. That has not happened since Trump became president of the United States. You may wonder why that is. I tell you what else Putin hasn't been able to do since Trump is president. Call the shots when it comes to our foreign policy decisions. I can tell you when he did do that. That was the previous administration dealing with the country of Syria. One of the biggest, Obama and John Kerry really leading the world to peace and working out a deal where Assad promises to stop using all those chemical weapons. And so, of course, we're going to take those chemical. We've got to turn them over to us. And Putin steps in and says, no. How about instead, we'll take them. And the Obama administration said, okay, bow down to Putin and let that be part of the agreement. Of course, we would later learn Putin never took those chemical weapons from Assad. It never was any intent to do that. Putin was leading the United States around, making foreign policy decisions for us. Has that happened under Trump? Sure hasn't. How many countries has Putin invaded since Trump has become president? The answer is none. In fact, have you noticed how quiet Putin has been since Trump has become president? There's been none of this disruption coming from Russia since Trump became president of the United States. You think that's a coincidence? Do you think Putin just decided, I'm tired of being a bad guy that's trying to take over countries that I believe belong back. He's got this idea of bringing the old band back together, the Soviet Union. You think he just decided he wasn't interested in dictating our foreign policy in the Middle East any longer? You think he just thought, shooting down airliner stuff, that's gotten old. I think we'll give that sort of thing up. You think it's just a coincidence all of that happened when Trump became president of the United States? When they make these claims about somebody like Putin and Trump being a puppet of Putin, a willing idiot, they act as if we don't have 3.5 years of a President Trump and then to be able to witness what Putin's reaction to that has been. Well, we do have it. And frankly, he hasn't been a real problem on the world stage since. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. I don't know, maybe I did this a little bit backwards, but nonetheless. Talking about this absurd notion that somehow Putin would want or prefers Donald Trump to be president over, of course, Hillary and now Biden, and that he's just some useful idiot that's used by Putin. Yet they don't give a single example of how he's yet been used. I mean, I can't think of anything that Russia has done since Trump became president that one could even manipulate into claiming is Putin taking advantage of Trump being president. But we can go back to the Obama-Biden administration and find plenty of examples. Now, I mentioned Syria and how when it came to dealing with Syria, the Obama-Biden administration essentially let Russia call the shots. Russia stepped in and said, no, we're going to decide this deal. And of course, it turned out to be a sham deal. When it comes to dealing with our allies, U.S. missile defense in Eastern Europe. This was something that had been in play, and this was a missile defense shield that our allies in Eastern Europe would have as protection should Putin or any future Russian president decide to launch a military attack. Guess who canceled that in order to please the Russians? Obama canceled it. Our allies left them defenseless in that capacity. Because this was all part of restarting the relationship with Putin. Remember, we were apologizing to Putin because of how mean past presidents had been. Hillary Clinton went over with a reset button in order to prove we're sorry, we want to reset everything, we're so sorry that we have had that Cold War mentality all these years. We're sorry that you had to deal with that cowboy Bush with his swagger and his arrogant ways. We're here to be friends. Even 4 years into it, when Romney, for all his faults, political foe that we had was Russia, Obama mocked him, saying the 80s called, they want their foreign policy back. Running cover for Putin. Obama also allowed Russia to sell S-300 air defenses to Iran. This was something that we had been firmly opposed to until Obama came along. You can go down the list of areas in which it was Putin v. Obama, Biden, and Putin comes out the victor. And I know a lot of you, Uranium One, that's screaming in your head right now, that deal in which Russia desperately wanted that Uranium One deal. And with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State, and after a very high-dollar visit that Clinton made, got paid, I think that one, $500,000, to speak to a room full of people, most of which didn't even speak English, and then actually visited Putin in his home, the Uranium One deal goes through. Now you tell me which type of administration Putin prefers. Now I just laid out a whole list of actual events that took place, many of which were only possible because the president of the United States at the time gave the green light for it. That was Obama. They're indisputable facts that occurred. Now, where's the list of areas in which it was Trump v. Putin and Putin comes out ahead? Anyone? He's lost a massive amount of revenue because of Trump's ability to get a number of countries off their energy line. A lot of sanctions put into place by Trump. Putin has been very, very quiet since Trump became president. You have to be completely detached from reality or unwilling to acknowledge reality to believe in any world that Putin wants Trump as president and that Trump is some sort of puppet of Putin. If Trump is a puppet of Putin, then Putin is the most self-destructive leader that we've ever seen in our time. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Just throw out a couple others that are examples of Putin's Russia dealing with a Obama-Biden administration versus a Trump administration. We have in this country, and it was something that was crafted between Reagan and Gorbachev. It was a missile. It was an agreement dealt with missiles and you know, the nuclear capabilities. And it was something that we abided by, but the Russians violated all the time. And under the Obama administration, they just let them do it, constantly violating. Trump canceled the thing. So we're not going to, why should we abide by this if they aren't? Now, this is an interesting compare and contrast because it's dealing with the exact same situation by two different presidents. One in which a president allowed Putin to constantly violate a treaty without any repercussions while forcing us to still abide by it. And Trump comes along and says, no, I don't think so. Putin doesn't get to do that. Now, you tell me again which side, which administration Putin would prefer. It is such a profound example of lack of intelligent conversation that you can have a media out there conveying this idea that somehow Trump is a president that benefits Putin, given what we know has actually occurred. And shall I mention one final one? For all of the talk about Putin interfering in elections, which administration did that occur under without any sort of repercussion? That was the Obama-Biden administration. We kind of forget that. It was all of that time under Obama that we're told Russia rigged an election, yet nothing was done. Anyone with any common sense knows the truth on this. News in 60 seconds, I'm Nick Reed.